You are welcome to Nigeria Ready. I am Lilian Ogazi. For some weeks now, top Boko Haram commanders have been in the news, surrendering to Nigerian troops. Among them was a senior commander, or Amir, and his family, who surrendered two troops of Operation Hardin Kai, OPHK, in Gwaza local government area of Borno State. Similarly, over 100 commanders of Boko Haram who last weekend surrendered to troops of the Nigerian army have asked Nigerians to forgive them. And this sparked lots of reactions on social media. Our colleague in Maiduguri, Ms. Bahu Bashu, gives us the situation of things.
Now, what we are hearing is that about 1,500 repentant insurgents have surrendered to the military. These, of course, include women and children, and that these people, we were told, were taken to some rehabilitation centers where they will be profiled and where they will go deradicalization processes. Thereafter, they will be reintegrated into the society. But for now, they have not been sent to any community. The general feeling is that people are apprehensive. People do not want to live side by side with people who terrorized them in the past. There is this fear of a reprisal attack against them. So government is saying it will meet with stakeholders, including security forces, volunteers, which include the civilian JTF, the community leaders, traditional leaders, and all other stakeholders, and find a way of reintegrating these people into the society.
That was Ms. Bao, our colleague in Maiduguri. How are people in Maiduguri reacting to this?
After 2009, when President Yar'Adua handled their case, everything died off, unknowingly to residents that they were regrouping and even fortifying themselves. And by the time they fortified themselves and came back, everybody saw what happened. So that is the fear of people, fear of regrouping. That is why people are afraid, apprehensive of receiving them back. I will not support repression. Rather, government taking measures to rehabilitate them, take them to a different location. You can build certain housing estate, and this group of people live there. They will know that this class of people are the people living here. There will be security within certain period for certain years within those axes. And by the time everything has died down, and then if they want to begin their normal life, then themselves, by the time they are taken out from the people, for years their senses will come back, and I believe that they wouldn't want to indulge in such thing again.
For the fact that insurgents are surrendering and coming out of the bushes and submitting themselves to the Nigerian army is something that we need to celebrate, especially those of us who have been living in the Northeast for the last 10, 11, 12 years. We have witnesses to all the atrocities that have been committed by the insurgents. In fact, a lot of us have lost family members, brothers and sisters, and a lot of our relations have lost their lives and livelihoods as a result of this insurgency. So if the insurgents are actually surrendering now and coming out of the bushes, it's something for us to actually celebrate and be happy about. Our major problem is we have a lot of misgivings about the whole process. First of all, most people around here feel as if it's only those who have been conscripted and forcefully taken into the ranks of the insurgents that are actually surrendering, that those who are the eggheads, those who drive the process of the insurgency, are not actually surrendering. So that is the perception that most people have these days, that basically those who have been abducted and forcefully conscripted into the insurgents' army are the ones that are actually coming out of the bushes and surrendering. That is one concern. The other concern that people have is, if really the insurgents are the ones surrendering, how does the government plan to resettle them? With all the atrocities they have committed over the years in the communities, how is the government planning to resettle them and bring them back into the community? And the other issue is whether actually they have dropped this ideologies that has been driving them throughout this past more than one decade. So whether they have dropped the ideology and whether they are ready to come back and settle in the community. And then basically, how is the government going to resettle them? Where is the government resettling them? Is there going to be any process of healing in terms of a reconciliation process? Because some of these insurgents are members of the community. People in the community know them, and people have seen the atrocities they've committed against them. So these are the major concerns that people in this community actually have.
People have the concern and fears that probably because of certain circumstances that happen within the cycle, that's why they're coming back. And if they're given the amnesty or intervention, there's a possibility of them coming back to the bush again. Some see them as coming to see how the security agencies are living, the communities are living, so that they will go back again and launch different attacks. So there are these mixed reactions and mixed feelings. Definitely, the influx or the number at which they are coming out definitely will have a source of concerns and fears, because there has never been a time where such magnitude or such quantum of insurgents are coming out of the bush. So definitely, people have different feelings and different reactions to what is currently happening.
Some residents of Maiduguri there reacting to the repentance of some Boko Haram commanders and their families. You're listening to Nigeria Daily. We'll be going on a quick break. Do stay.
It's enlightening.
It's incisive.
It's analytical.
It's entertaining.
It's educating.
It's The Bearing, a podcast from Daily Trust addressing issues that have direct bearing in your life. Join us every week on www.dailytrust.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/dailytrust. On Twitter at twitter.com/dailytrust. And on YouTube at youtube.com/dailytrust. To listen in, join us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio.
Us, you are listening to Nigeria Daily, and we're talking about the repentant Boko Haram insurgents. We just spoke to our colleague in Maiduguri, Ms. Bahubashi, and also to some people in Maiduguri on how they feel about the return and repentance of Boko Haram commanders. What does this mean, and how is it going to affect the local populace? Mohammed Kabir Issa, a security analyst, speaks with us.
It will affect the local populace significantly. We need to recall that some of these Boko Haram repentants were part of missions and expeditions to raise attack, bomb attacks, suicide missions, burning of schools, killing students in most of these affected communities, sacking most of these affected communities. Some of the communities, they rendered them internally displaced persons. So it's natural that the affected communities will not welcome wholeheartedly the repentant Boko Haram, even if they have strong family ties. Because we have seen from experiences in the past that counseled witch girls that were returned and some of the repentant were not easily welcomed back into the displaced or affected communities. So it means that there is something wrong with our strategy as government, as authorities, in terms of managing repentant Boko Haram. In other words, we are looking at the supply side. We are not looking at the demand side of the curve. You know, in other words, we are doing trauma counseling. We are doing countering violent extremism programs and strategies with repentant Boko Haram, but we are not dealing with the feelings and stigmatizations of the affected communities. So we need to scale up programs of welcoming repentant Boko Haram back to communities. We need to deal with, because the programs, the trauma counseling programs that we have, only deals with repentant Boko Haram in terms of reclaiming their ideology, reclaiming their mentality, reclaiming their psychology, claiming their ideological inclinations and what have you, and their mentality. But we are not dealing with the communities, the host communities, where they are going to return to. It's very significant to begin to consider that in terms of programming and strategy to deal with repentant Boko Haram.
What is the long-term benefit or harm of this?
Long-term benefit is that we will stop the supply chain of, if you like, soldiers, foot soldiers to Boko Haram if we continue to do, you know, welcome repentant Boko Haram and use them to pass messaging to other youths and other people who are likely to join Boko Haram, that they see the negative aspect of joining Boko Haram, they see the bad side of joining Boko Haram. We can use them to, in a way, it's a benefit rather than a harm. We can use these people, The harm is the stigmatization. If they are not readily acceptable in the community, if they are stigmatized, you are likely to destroy all the effort of trauma counseling and countering violent extremism programs that have been taking place and get them to go back to Boko Haram because they are not accepted and they are not welcome in their host communities or their families. So it becomes a problem, it becomes a harm. But we can use them in the short and the long term to deter others from joining Boko Haram, in using them for messaging, in using them for spread of countering violent extremism, in using them to do ideological war with people who are likely to be mobilized to join Boko Haram. We can use them very significantly to counter this and then deploy them in various nooks and corners of communities to identify potential foot soldiers of Boko Haram in communities.
Can they be fully reintegrated into the society as normal?
They can fully be integrated back into society if there is a, if you like, a holistic approach to integration. Holistic approach in terms of the demand side and the supply side. Demand side, getting them back to the communities and getting the communities to accept them. The supply side, bringing them into the communities and getting them to change their mentality, their ideology, and getting them to do things for their livelihood. You know, a lot of the people who have joined Boko Haram have done so out of frustration, out of no jobs, out of lack of employment, lack of opportunities, lack of access, and so on. While we create this for them, we can also do so in the communities where they are accepted, they're integrated. We use them as, you know, foot soldiers of advocacy, sensitization, and mobilization of potential would-be foot soldiers of Boko Haram, would-be IED producers or makers, and would-be suicide bombers. We can get them to identify them, help them to counsel them, help us to do ideological countering and get them to mobilize people not to join Boko Haram. And we can also help them, we can also use them to do civilian JTF, protect society, because they know Boko Haram, they know the tactics, they know their signature tunes, they know everything about them. We can use them to identify potential areas, potential attacks, and use them to do even intelligence gathering. So there are more positive things to do with Boko Haram and repentant soldiers than negative issues. If we can counsel societies and get societies, imam, community leaders, youth leaders, associations, traditional rulers, religious leaders, community mobilizers, and so on, to welcome them and use them positively.
That was Mohammed Kabir Isa, a security analyst. Northeast Nigeria has lost thousands of lives and properties worth billions of naira. Hopefully, the ravaging, catastrophic situation brought about by Boko Haram insurgent is now coming to an end. It is well known that after every war situation that comes to an end, whether through the barrel of the gun, dialogue intervention, or truce, there must be a roadmap for reconciliation, rehabilitation, and resettlement. Can the people truly forgive and forget? God bless Nigeria. With that, we've come to the end of this episode of Nigeria Daily. Thank you so much for listening. To everyone whose voices we've heard on the show, we say a big thank you. Nigeria Daily is a Daily Trust production, and you can download this and other episodes on dailytrust.com and on buzzsprout.com. You can also listen in on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn Radio. If you have questions or comments, let us know on our social media handles on Twitter and Instagram at daily_trust and on Facebook at Daily Trust. You could also send us a message via WhatsApp on 0913-893-3390. Bye for now.